We shall now turn to the psalm that we read together, Book of Psalms, Psalm 27, and our text for this morning is verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Here we have a description of our real man of God. One thing have I desired. One thing is in this man's mind. One thing captures all his attention, his affections, his desires. One thing he's excited about above everything else. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his holy temple. People sometimes say, quite often actually, they say that there's so many hypocrites in the church. And they're right. There are many hypocrites in the church. And there always have been hypocrites in the church. People who pretend to be holy, pretend to be the people of God, but they aren't actually. Nowadays, there are of course some awful examples of hypocrites. For example, in the Roman Catholic Church, you get priests who sexually abuse young people. There have been terrible scandals around people using their position of trust in order to express their own filthy lusts and to indulge their filthy desires. But that's not what I want to deal with this morning. These are extreme cases. Rather, what I would like us to consider today are good living people, fine people, upright people, people who keep the commandments, kind-hearted people, and yet they're not true Christians. Now, Jesus met many hypocrites in his day. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! How often he said these words. Nothing offended him more. Nothing upset him more than the hypocrites that were in the church of his day. Now, amongst these hypocrites, there were some good-living people, nice people. We're told, for example, about a rich young ruler who came to Jesus with a question. Good master, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, keep the commandments. And he said, which commandments? Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And we're told that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. There was something very attractive in this young man. He was such a good-living young man, such an upright young man, such a sincere young man. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And then Jesus said to him, but there's one thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. How would you feel if Jesus said that to you. Go and sell your house and your car and your possessions and all you have. Give it away to the poor people. And follow me. Would you do it? Would you do it if he promised you eternal life? Well, the true Christian always would. But that's the crunch, isn't it? Are we true Christians or are we not? Do we make an idol of, for example, our possessions? Or of some pleasure that we have? Or our work? Or our family? The rich young ruler was a lovely religious person. But he went away sad. And that would seem to imply that he was lost and lost forever. He turned his back on Christ and went away. Now there are folk in the church today, aren't there, who know their Bibles, who believe their Bibles, who attend church regularly, who are members of the church too, who are clean living people, who expect to go to heaven when they die, but they will end up in hell. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. For many shall say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" And I shall say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." People who preached in the church, people who perform miracles. But something vital was missing. And what's that vital thing that's missing? The one great desire. The one passionate love. Examine yourself. It's a terrible thing to end up deceived. It's sad if we go through life with false hopes. Publicans and harlots shall enter the kingdom of heaven before some good living people. So the question for you and me today is, are you a real Christian? Am I a real Christian? Am I? So first of all then this morning, this desire, what is it? One thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing desired more than anything else. One thing that made the psalmist excited, passionate, single-minded. The Pharisees are content with their religion. They feel they have arrived. They largely keep the commandments. They're not perfect. Well, who is perfect? Nobody's perfect, but they're good living people. They would like to be a bit better, yes, of course, but they're content. They're not troubled. They feel that they're just like others and better than an awful lot of others. You know the commandments, don't you? And you try to keep the commandments. You know the gospel. Jesus died on the cross to save sinners and rose again. And you believe the gospel. don't you? You believe that Jesus died on the cross to save sinners. And you believe even that Jesus died on the cross to save you and to save your soul from going to hell. You believe these things. You look to Christ as your Savior. You attend church, you're a member of the church, you're regarded as a Christian. But do you really love Christ? Is it all just in your head? Or is it in your heart? Is it superficial? Or is it radical? One thing have I desired. What is the one big desire in your life? What is the thing that takes up your mind, your thoughts, your affections, your time? Is it your family? Is that the most important thing to you? Is it your job? Is it your home? Is it money? Is it your reputation? Is it your pastimes? The psalmist says, one thing have I desired, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that I might behold the beauty of the Lord, that I might hear him. Think of a hungry man. A hungry man can only think of one thing. I want food. Are you like a hungry man wanting Christ? Think of somebody who's troubled with thirst. All they can think about is, my mouth is parched and I'm thirsty. I need something to drink and I need it now. As the heart pants after the water brooks, so does our heart pant after thee, O God. Is that true? Are we thirsting for the living God? Is this the big, big thing in our lives? Or is it just one thing among many others? You come to church and are you maybe a bit sleepy in church? Are you easily distracted? You listen to a little bit of the sermon and then your mind goes wandering away onto other things. Is that you desiring Christ? To know more about him, loving him with all your heart? You say and do the right things, but is it in a kind of lifeless way? A real Christian is somebody who has fallen in love with Christ. Do you remember when you fell in love with your husband, your wife? How you couldn't think of anybody else or anything else. And how this kept coming into your thoughts day and night. Well, are you in love with Christ? That's an important question. Are you in love with Christ? Does he keep coming into your thoughts? Are you always turning to him day and night? One thing have I desired of the Lord. Well, secondly, what is this desire? It's a desire to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Too many people go to church without any great desire. Why do they go to church? Because they were brought up to go to church. Or because they think it's the right thing to do. Or because their conscience tells them to go to church. But they're not going to church because they love church. They desire church. They're wanting to be there. It's so important to them. They couldn't think of going anywhere else instead. How many there are, and they're quite happy to go to church once on a Sunday. Miss the evening service, miss the midweek meeting. Well, you know, there's so many churches nowadays, and they don't bother holding an evening service. And they don't bother holding a midweek service. Why? Because they can't get people to come to them. And why are people not willing to come to a midweek service, to an evening service? Because they have no interest. Because they don't have the one thing that I desired, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Quite a thought, isn't it? So many Christians in Scotland today, and all their experience of church is an hour on a Sunday morning. And they're quite happy with that. And you think of somebody like that going to heaven, and heaven is church, morning, noon and night. Hour after hour after hour. If they went to heaven, it would turn out to be hell to them. Because they have no love for Christ. They have no delight in church. They go to church out of a sense of duty and obligation. And because they feel they must, but they aren't passionate about it. And one fears that so many of our churches here in Scotland today are just churches full of hypocrites. But what about us? It's not a matter of looking at the person next door. Are you a hypocrite? Do you love God and the things of God, and you can't get enough of the things of God? But you see, well, put it this way. If there was a church service on every night of the week, would you be there? Oh, but I have my family to look after, and I've got my job, and I've got my home, and I've got my work to do. Well, yes, that's true. But would that be your desire if you possibly could, to be there every night of the week? The psalmist can't get enough of church. He's got a great longing for it. Too many struggle to keep up their interest during just one brief service a week. How would it be for such a person if they ended up in heaven, worshipping God all the time? No television there. No Netflix. No Amazon Prime. No TikTok. No social media. No YouTube. Just worshipping God. Just praying and singing and preaching all the time. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be wonderful? One thing have I desired of the Lord, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, here's a challenge. How much time do you spend worshipping God? Tally it up in a week. How much time do you spend in church worshipping God, in your family and worshipping God, and on your own and worshipping God? How much time, in contrast, do you spend watching television, on social media, in entertainments and hobbies? Compare the two. How much time do you give to God in a week, and how much time do you give to television, your computer, your Facebook, your TikTok, your whatever else it is that you watch, your YouTube videos. How do the two compare? Does God get first place? And your pleasures and pastimes very much second place? Are you a part-time Christian? A half-hearted Christian? Just a Pharisee? Or are you somebody who's in love with Christ? Somebody in love. Thirdly, that which is desired. That which is desired. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his holy temple. We've said that a Christian is somebody who has fallen in love with Christ. When you fall in love with somebody, you spend ages thinking about that person, don't you? You read and reread their letters, their text messages, their emails. You keep looking at their pictures. You're excited to spend time together. You like to look in their face, to behold their beauty. Well, is it like that with Christ? Are you excited to look in the face of Christ? To look at him, to consider him, to behold him, to admire him? Are you constantly reading his letters, his word, thinking about it, going over it and over it, meditating upon it, reading books about him, talking to others about him? Christ, he's my beloved. He's my lover, the lover of my soul. Do you listen to every word about him, every word from him? And do you inquire in his temple? That is, do you pray to him? Are you constantly speaking to him? Think of the Lord Jesus, how, although he had a very busy time, how he would find time at the end of a day to go alone to pray. He would find time at the beginning of a day before others had got up. He would go out on his own to pray. Sometimes he would spend the whole night praying. Are you like that? You want to get alone with your Savior. Pray. Beholding his beauty and inquiring in his holy temple, asking him, speaking to him, praying to him, pleading with him, seeking more of his presence, more of his fellowship, more of his blessing, seeking that others would be brought to faith in him and would be saved too, and that your family and your friends and your neighbors and everybody you knew would be gathered up together in the one bundle of love in Christ. That which is desired. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So fourthly, a little bit about the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord is his glory, his greatness. And he is so great. Who can measure God? Immeasurably great. He's infinite. He's eternal. He's the Ancient of Days. so old that he's always been there, always will be there. He's so holy and exalted and majestic. And you think of the angels gathered around the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So exalted, so pure. His justice, his hatred for sin. He can in no wise pardon the guilty. Just this past week we had a horrible incident of an old man in a mobility scooter who was stabbed to death. And what will happen to the person who did this? Put to prison for a few years. Is that proper punishment for such a crime? The Bible says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." God made man in his own image, and it's a terrible crime to kill a fellow man. Yet here we are in a society where people think nothing of killing thousands and millions of children in the womb, unborn children. And yet they would be appalled at hanging a murderer who cruelly murdered a poor old man. We have no justice in our society, but God is just, and he will in no wise pardon the guilty. The wages of sin is death. You must remember that. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Our God is a holy God. Our God is a just God. Our God is a loving God. Think of his amazing love, how he came from heaven and became a man, entered into this world, suffered so much opposition and abuse, such contradiction of sinners against himself, how he was mocked and abused and scourged and nailed to a cross and laughed at as he died. And he did it all because he loved us. Greater loveth no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. But Christ laid down his life for his enemies, for you and me. How amazing is this love. Let us behold his love. Let us meditate upon it. His amazing mercy to sinners like us. We sin. We say we're sorry, and then we sin again. And we say we're sorry, and we sin again. And we say we're sorry, and we sin again, and we expect him to forgive us, and he does forgive us, although we keep on sinning time and time again. How long-suffering he is towards us. How great he is in mercy and in forgiveness. See the beauty of the Lord. Think of his truth, his great promises, the wonderful promises he makes in his word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Where he begins the good work, he brings it on till the day of Christ Jesus. All things work together for good. How wonderful are these promises. Think of his wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God is so wise. God knows what is best. And if we need wisdom, all we have to do is ask for it, and God will give it to us. Think of his rule, Christ ruling in heaven. And we see around the world all the nations and conflicts, and all the crimes and violence and various groupings and religions and conflict one with another. But God is on the throne in heaven. Jesus reigns and will reign till his enemies be made his footstool, carrying out his purposes. What a wonderful king he is. Even Satan himself shall lick the dust at his feet. And he's coming again. He's coming for us, coming to take us home. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. How wonderful. Our beloved Saviour, he's gone. He's preparing a place for us. One day soon he's going to come again, and he's going to take us to be with himself, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that our desire? Is that the one longing of our heart? Let us examine ourselves. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves so that you will know if you be reprobate or not, if you be just a mere hypocrite. Are we people with one desire? One desire above everything else. A desire after God. A longing for Jesus Christ. Are we narrow-minded? Narrow-minded in a good way. Going through that narrow gate, following that narrow path, with our eyes constantly fixed on Jesus. Here is a very searching verse. Ask yourself, does it describe me? Does it describe you? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, give to us this great desire in our hearts. Give to us to examine ourselves and to know, have we really been born again? Have we been created in Christ Jesus? Created afresh? Has the Holy Spirit come to live in our hearts, producing there love, joy and peace? Bless us each one, for Jesus' sake. Amen.